We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. Welcome to Business Rockstars. Joining me right now, Marina Curry. She is the founder of BeautyCon. I am so excited to chat with you. Thank you so much for being here and telling us about your entrepreneurial journey.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. So anyone who is in the influencer or beauty space knows what BeautyCon is. But in case there's a few others tuning in, can you tell us what is BeautyCon?
Okay. Well, BeautyCon is the brand that represents the whole movement of beauty and fashion online influencers. And it's a great brand. There's live events and there's media and a box and all kinds of things.
Yeah. So events, conference, obviously, con stands for conference.
Yeah.
And you've really built this community, which is a cool thing. And I love your story, how you weren't necessarily a beauty influencer yourself, but you were a business person. You saw a hole in the market, an opportunity, and you went for it. So can you take me back to that time when you really discovered the idea and went for it?
Sure. When I was around 28, I decided to leave my job. I had a full-time job. And pursue YouTube. And I left without any safety net. I'm like, you know what? I am going to become an entrepreneur. That was my number one dream. And within the YouTube space. So I wasn't sure like what that would look like or anything, but I started making like some videos and like doing interviews and stuff. And then I went to a YouTuber networking event and I met the CEO of one of the major networks. And he told me that they were going to start a new network around beauty. And so then I was like, oh, cool. I want to be involved. And then I went home and I looked at a YouTube beauty video and I just completely fell in love with the girls. They were so genuine, so young, just sitting in their living rooms in front of a camera. And they were giving these recommendations like, you know, just so genuine. Like I tried this cream and I really like it. And I felt like it was like a best friend telling me to go try something.
And that's why it works, because it's so organic, so authentic.
Totally. It's just, yeah, it's like a friend. There's no difference. Right. The girls are so chill. And as soon as I saw that video, I knew that that was going to be the future of all marketing and advertisement. Like these girls were going to then have control over the whole industry. I could just see it from that video.
That's amazing. You must be really good at spotting trends, because sometimes you'll see a trend and then it won't pan out, you know, but it was just that authenticity that you're like, this is going to catch on fire.
Totally. It was like, you know, it was like a commercial in a way, but like something that you wanted to watch. And it was a friend. It was just so intimate. And it beat any other thing that I could think of, you know?
And then how did you come up with the precise idea of connecting all of these people?
Yeah, okay. Well, so basically it was a new frontier when this was first beginning. I knew like girls were doing brand deals and I knew that there wasn't some standard of like how much you should charge if you get popular, if a brand emails you, because if a brand emails you, do you charge them or do you do it for free or do you do this or do that? And the young girls were, they were so popular and I knew that they didn't know how powerful they were. And so I wanted to create one community where everyone could get together and discuss it and also where you could meet fans and just have like a one-stop shop.
Yeah. And there really is strength in numbers, because it's one thing if one of the women start saying, hey, this is what I'm worth, this is how I want to do my brand deals. But then if it's just a standard across the industry, then there's more accountability to the brands to have fair partnerships.
Totally. And also, just as a community, we want to be united, you know,
so. And supportive of each other. Because that's one thing is a lot of these YouTubers and influencers across platforms, collaborations are so huge, right?
So huge, yes. And that was another a humongous benefit of getting everyone together back then, because, you know, so many businesses came out of like the relationships that were made at different events and things that I had. And
Yeah. Okay. So once you knew that you were onto something, you had this idea, what were some of the first things you had to do in order to execute it, to make it a reality?
Yeah. Okay. So the first step that I did was I actually made a Facebook page. Like, we should all get together, or, you know, these content creators, and it's not bloggers, it's actual vloggers. You know, that was different because I think there's like some blogger things, but I was like, okay, vloggers, let's unite, let's get together to talk about the industry, talk about the changes that are happening. And then I had a brand email me saying that they wanted to sponsor the event. And I was like, sure. And so then I hired a PR company to put on the event. And then I did just weeks full of research, just like online all the time, getting contact information for these people. And then I created the first like get together of the beauty and fashion girls.
And when you say bloggers, contact information of these people, do you mean the influencers?
Yes, the influencers.
Okay.
Yes, the girls themselves.
And was it specifically YouTube, right?
Yeah, I only focused on YouTube.
Yeah, but. And I think that was probably a very smart move to have a niche of vloggers specifically on YouTube, and then even more specific in the beauty industry. That's something we talk a lot about on Business Rockstars, that the riches are in the niches, as they say.
Totally.
So you did a really good job of that. So, okay, you started on Facebook. Love that.
Yes.
And that's not a regular thing to get your first sponsor for your first event. I mean, obviously you were really on to something. There was a need for this. What happened then once you had this sponsor on board? Like, what did that allow you to do?
That allowed me to have the money to hire the PR company to, like, I found a top PR company here in LA to produce the event. And so then they were able to just, you know, give the whole thing a lot of legitimacy and do it right and really impress the attendees that I hoped to show up. And they did show up.
So you had gone on to do many events within this community of YouTube influencers. What do you think it was that really allowed you to create this community, to really bond these individuals?
It was the speakers and the people that I'd bring in, and also the fact that they were involved. So I became friends with these girls and I listened to them and I'm like, hey, what do you guys want to do? And they were just supportive. They'd come over to my house, be like, okay, let's do this, let's do that. And I'm like, okay, yeah, let's do it. And it was them.
Yeah. Did you have friendships with these people or did you just contact them on the internet?
I made friendships through just my events and
just
everything.
Just reaching out.
Yeah, just reaching out.
Especially for that first event, I would feel like some people could be intimidated by that, right? Like, okay, I want to do this event, but I don't necessarily know these YouTubers. But did you just simply reach out?
No, I hired the PR company to reach out.
So there was a PR company that was really kind of that missing link that allowed you to get in touch with the right people.
No. I found everybody that I wanted to invite, but then I had a really good invitation. Like, you know, they're actually called the Buzz Girls. So they had a lot of industry-only events for the top people in PR and entertainment. And so they were used to working with amazing brands and putting on these top tier events. So I hired them to then put my event on.
So that really helped it go next level.
Yeah, totally. I do not know how to plan an event for anything. Like, it's not my area of expertise. So I hired them.
Yeah, well, what I'm loving as I'm learning about your story is that this wasn't necessarily in your wheelhouse, but you had the vision, you had the idea, and then you got a team together and hired the right people to help you execute this vision. Because I think sometimes it's easy to talk ourselves out of ideas because, well, I haven't done an event, or, I'm not connected with influencers or whatever. But as you've proven, you can get together with the right people who do know how to do those things.
Yeah, totally. Like, if you get any money, then spend it on the right people. Like, as soon as I get a sponsorship, I'd spend it right away and I'd hire pros to come in and make everything awesome.
Yeah, very cool. And then at what point did you decide, I want to hand over the keys, I want another team to run BeautyCon?
Okay, so it was around a month and a half before my already scheduled humongous event. And I actually went to an entertainment lawyer to represent us for BeautyCon, and they connected us with another company that does top-level events at, like, Coachella and stuff like that for great brands and work with celebrities, and they were a team of seven. And we met them, like, around a month and a half before our event, and they were pros and were like, yeah, please, like, we would love for you to do this.
That's
and
amazing.
Take, yeah. Pass the baton.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I know you think is very important is to, as an entrepreneur, ask yourself, do you want to be in the business or do you want to be the founder and then pass that baton? So we're going to talk more about that when we come back. We're going to take a short break. Sit tight. We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
Guess what? Right now is the perfect time to tackle those home projects you've been putting off. So come summertime, you can just sit back and relax. HomeAdvisor can help get you started. HomeAdvisor matches you to the right pro for the job in seconds. You can read reviews and even book appointments online. HomeAdvisor can help with any home project, big or small, painting, plumbing, even remodeling. Find a great pro now before the busy season hits. Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app. HomeAdvisor.
Have you heard about Newsmax TV? It's America's fastest-growing cable news channel in 70 million homes. Every minute, every day, watch Newsmax for breaking news on President Trump. Plus, get insights from Bill O'Reilly, Alan Dershowitz, Pat Buchanan, Mike Reagan, and more. You can find Newsmax TV on DirecTV, Xfinity, Dish, Optimum, Spectrum, Fios, UVerse, Suddenlink, Wow, and dozens of cable systems. So check your guide now and watch Newsmax TV. Real news for real people.
We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. Welcome back to Business Rockstars, where we are continuing our conversation with Marina Curry. She is the founder of BeautyCon. And if you were joining us before, you know that she ended up handing over the baton of BeautyCon. And I know that you mentioned that you think that's a really important thing for entrepreneurs to think about when they go into entrepreneurship, understanding what's the end game. Do you want to be in this business? Do you want to be the CEO? Do you want to be working on it every single day? Or do you want to build something amazing that's highly desirable and then pass it along? So if you could speak to first of all, the two options that you were presented with.
Totally. Well, you know, it's been an interesting journey for me, like really fun, full of adventure. And I know that I am, with confidence, I can say I'm an ideas person. I love running around town being like, hey, this is what I'm working on, and seeing the look in people's eyes and seeing if they, you know, they're responsive or not. And then I also know about myself that I don't have any desire to run a company. I like to start it. I like to like get it rolling. And then if I'm blessed enough that somebody else would like to take the reins for me, then I would happily do that again and again and again.
Yeah. Because the alternative is what? Obviously working in the business, but what could have that looked like for you?
I mean, like, personally, if you want to be somebody like Mark Zuckerberg that, you know, builds the whole company, has employees, has an office, has, you know, everything, thinks about the brand 100 years from
a
now.
Lot more structured.
Yeah, it's that's not something that I want to do. I just get off on the beginning part of like just pitching new ideas and then seeing how it responds. For me, when we had the first BeautyCon that was open to the public and there's around 10,000 girls there, I knew that it worked. I'm like, yes, this is it. Like, this is cool. And I had this deep level of satisfaction. And also, I'm like, okay, cool. What's the next thing?
Cool.
So, yeah.
But obviously, in the beginning there, you were in the trenches and you were doing the day-to-day. So, for someone who's more of an idea person like you are, what was that like? Did you enjoy that process? How did you make it work?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm an ideas person and executing. Like, I don't just sit around and say, like, oh, I have this idea and then pitch it. Like, then I make it work. To me, that is a really, it's a crazy part. It's like, I mean, you feel like you're like alone most of the time. I'm like, okay, so I have this. you know, okay, so it's called BeautyCon, and people are like, oh, what's that? And most of the time people don't get it.
Right.
But then there's like somebody who does get it, and then they're like, okay, I'll help you. And you're like, yes. And then you move forward, and then there's so many sleepless nights where you're like, okay, this is dumb. And then you're like, okay, no, actually, it's awesome. But the most important thing, and something that I'd love to tell everyone, is to create things that are not for you. When I created BeautyCon, I created it for the girls, this movement that was a shift in marketing and advertisement. And I wanted to create this platform for them to have the world see who they are.
For someone who does want to build a community, is there any other piece of advice that you would like to share with them?
Yeah. Don't make it about yourself. Make it about other people in the community that you want to serve.
Yeah. And that's a really good lesson, I think, across industries and in the influencer space, too. I think anytime you can not just make it about you, but about the content you're creating and about your audience, it's going to go so much further.
Totally.
So when you did get the offer to hand over the baton, did you just know right away that that was it? Or did you have to think about it?
So I had a partner in BeautyCon. He's an awesome dude, and he was there with me every step of the way. And when we first got the offer, I wasn't really expecting it. Actually, that was the second offer. I had a buyout offer the year before from another company, and I decided to like keep on going, on my own. But by that time, a month and a half before my big one, when we got the second offer to, you know, pass a baton, I was so excited. Yeah, the company, like it was just me. So to go from one to all of a sudden like expert event planners and people that have great connections and promises of what they can do in the future, like it was really exciting.
So what is your role with BeautyCon now?
Okay, so now I am silent. The current CEO and I think there's around 50 employees, like they work on it. Every day, they're taking it to the next level, like all the time. It's a wonderful brand. I could not be any more proud of where it's gone and where it will go in the future. And I absolutely am the biggest fan of BeautyCon. It came from my heart.
So you get to admire it from afar and be like, I started that.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, it is the best feeling ever.
I bet.
Yes.
So now you're back to your ideas and you run a couple of businesses or have developed businesses, I should say, and you're developing a TV series. So cool. So tell me about the various things you're working on right now.
Okay. So after BeautyCon, I went traveling for a while. I definitely have like the best life ever. I must say it's very exciting. I went traveling for around 6 months and I actually did a lot of dating. And so,
awesome.
Yeah, I did a lot of dating like all around the world. And so that's what my new project is about.
Ooh, can you tell more?
Sure. Okay, it's called Worldwide Man Tour. And it's about a girl who's looking for like the perfect husband and also like the pressures of that are put on women. Like, okay, so by the time you turn 35, if you don't have a kid, like it's going to have all these problems. And it's just like, okay, I was supposed to focus on my career, but then I'm missing out on this and like freaking out. And then like going on a last ditch rampage to like try to make it all work on the strict timeline.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what the show is about. And that's what I actually did in real life as well.
I love it. So that's the pilot that you're creating and shooting very soon.
Yes.
Oh, I love it.
Worldwide Man Tour.
And then what about your business, We Are Fitness? Tell me about that.
We Are Fitness. Okay. So I started kind of on the same path as BeautyCon, but with fitness. I spent like the past 3 years meeting the fitness influencers, which was really cool. And I was in Australia. I did an event at Google Sydney and I got to meet the coolest Australian influencers. I did like the same work that I've been doing here and meeting cool brands. And I know all of the coolest influencers here in LA and around the globe really in fitness. And it's an exciting new space. Like, I think it's not like the sensation that beauty is, But fitness is right up there. It is huge. Just like the beauty creators, these people are inspiring and they are just awesome. Like one guy, he's like, yeah, I want to affect 1 billion people. I want to just like have them be healthy. I want to be a positive influence in their lives. Like they are the coolest. I
love
them.
A lot of their intentions are so good. It's very cool to see the behind the scenes.
It is. And just to get to know them as people, like a lot of them have like weight loss stories and stuff like that. And the dedication that goes into making this content all the time, they're just, people I respect greatly.
Awesome. Well, you are just amazing. And everything you've done is so cool. So it's been such a pleasure learning more about your journey. Thank you so much for stopping by the Business Rockstar Studio.
Yay. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
So you sit down and you do your budget and you look at all your monthly costs, your bills, your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would help? What would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. And that is the typical savings. $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your healthcare. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry and it works. No wonder more than 400,000 people are doing this now. And look, whether you're single or married or you have kids, this can make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. Just think what you could do with $500 a month that can cover a car payment or payback loans or whatever. Join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Find out more. The MediShare people are so easy to talk to. They can answer any questions. They're super friendly. Call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
Welcome back to Business Rockstars. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. Joining us is Brian Copley. He's the CEO of City Builder. Brian, what's up, brother?
Having a good time in LA. Thanks for inviting me.
Good to be on the show, bro. So tell us, what is City Builder?
City Builder uses artificial intelligence to determine the best use of every piece of land.
Interesting. Elaborate. Give me some context.
So your
paint the picture for me.
You're playing SimCity. Okay. You've got a blank slate. You don't know what to put where, right? You start by putting down industry next to, you know, parks, and then kids get sick and turn into monsters and Godzilla your city, and then you have to start over, right? Cities actually were put together without a lot of technology. And so now we're looking at cities and we're thinking about how we can create smart cities that create happy, functional, sustainable communities. And we're using data to create better cities that work better for the residents, the capital, so like the investors, developers, builders, and also the cities themselves. So what we're doing is taking all of that data, synthesizing it, and saying what's the best thing we can do with every piece of land.
And what have the results been? Because you just like, you like pitched it perfectly. I'm like, and what is the results from
and
the data?
And we can do a lot better. Okay, that's the bottom line.
Give me some examples of things that are not working well, things that we should be doing.
Number one example, housing. Has the cost of your housing gone up in a way that has caused you any grief?
No.
No?
It's gone. Has it gone up that's caused me grief?
Yeah.
Have I made more money and been mad about it?
No. On the other side, have you had to pay for housing? So there's a lot of people paying rent or people buying homes.
Yeah.
So a lot of people maybe in our age demographic are looking at purchasing their first property and they're watching those property costs go up 10-15% a year.
Okay.
And if you're saving up and you're thinking about making that down payment, that's pretty disheartening. So just creating more housing supply.
You got to put that 300-400 G's down on the line there or more.
Yeah, exactly. If you're in San Francisco, right? So you're thinking about, you know, everyone needs a place to live. You have Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You have like, you know, shelter and clothing and shelter is like the number one thing that everyone needs. And the cost just continues to go up because we're not building smart. We're not building more housing. And so we have a huge shortage nationwide of housing, especially good housing, housing that gets you close to school, close to work, an area where you can walk and you can get access to restaurants, you can get to your school.
So how are you guys providing the solution to this? I understand we have the data.
Yeah.
So how do you provide the solution?
We make it very easy on you. You go to citybuilder.com, you type in your address, we tell you what the best use of your property is. And about one out of four times, it's not what your property is now.
So meaning?
Meaning you live in a house. Mm-hmm. Zillow or some other place tells you your house is worth X, right? Yeah. And it's always been that way for 10 years. If you're trying to figure out what your property is worth, you talk to a real estate agent or you go to one of these tech companies and they tell you, hey, this is what your property is worth. But the problem is they're asking their own question. It's not what is my property worth? It's what is my property? And in a lot of cases, about one out of four cases, your property is not what it exists as today. Like your house is not a house. It's actually more valuable as a development site. So if you could take a house and create 16 more homes or apartments with it, it's much more valuable as an apartment site, as a development site, than it is as a home. And that's what we've democratized, that information for any property owner.
So at the end of the day, am I supposed to, like, I can't just sell my house in my neighborhood and turn it into a condo. You know, there's rules against that. So how do you go about that?
Well, we look at all existing information like zoning. We look at land use. We look at other information like demographics. Would it make sense to put X type of development in this area? But yeah, zoning is a very important contributing factor to determining what can be built where and what should be and will be built where. So right now we're using what's called by right zoning. So if it's already zoned for a certain type of development, then we can tell you exactly what can be built there. And then after we show you all permitted uses, we show you the best use. So we could put, let's say, 16,000 total buildable square footage of apartments where your house is now. So maybe your house isn't worth $800,000, it's worth $1.1 million to a developer. For a property owner in Seattle, this exact thing happened. Property was worth $950,000 as a house. We told them it was worth $1.2. They listed it on our platform. We've got about 300 investors, builders, and developers there ready to make bids. And lo and behold, a week later, they got a bid for $1.2 million.
Tell me about the intellectual property that you guys have when it comes to your service as a software, and what makes it so special and what makes it so attractive, because you guys just got into LA today, which is a huge accomplishment. Again, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
And you've got, I'm hearing, like, you were like, investors, construction workers, blah, blah, blah. You got so many things going on. How the heck does your software, how is it so appealing to all these people?
Yeah, so
I'm still trying to wrap my head around what this thing is.
There's two questions here, so I'll answer the IP question first. We have a few patents that we filed. We have some trademarks, so we protect.
So you're putting those nukes in the launch pad ready to go to battle if you need to.
You hope you never need them, right?
Yeah,
they just kind of sit there.
That was how it was taught to me. It was, you know, patents are worthless until you have to go to war.
Yeah, you
and the more patents you have, the more nukes you have. So.
Yeah, and what makes it interesting is that we've created a lot of real estate technology, you know, when I talk about just tech.
Yeah.
We've created a lot of interesting real estate technology, but what we haven't done is look at the best use of land. We've done a good job valuing what exists today, but as we know, we live in a dynamic world and things change. And urban environments are changing and people are changing and the wants of millennials are changing urban environments. Millennials want to be closer to the places they work.
And less people are owning cars and property.
Absolutely. Ownership is changing.
In the near future, not too far, people won't own houses as much as they do. People won't own cars as much as they do. Lots of things are going to start changing.
We're seeing that trend, definitely. And I think that what's happening is the urban environment and the landscape and housing and all these different types of development are responding to these changes. And so we're looking at those changes and we're using really interesting statistical, you know, measurements like linear regression and lots of other interesting words that a 20-year-old who runs our company or runs our technical side of the house would do a much better job of explaining than I would. But we're looking at all of that data, and we've got over 10 billion points of data on 118 million properties in the U.S., 3,163 counties in the U.S. with, on average, 257 zone types. And none of that information has been aggregated or standardized or normalized.
It's an interesting concept, what
so you
guys have
created
here.
Stuff, and you don't know what you can do with all this land, and you have all this data, and it changes, and it's dynamic. And what machine learning does is it takes all that data and it synthesizes it and says, these are the insights. This is what you should do with these pieces of land. This is what's likely to change. This is how. And then it it democratizes that information and gives it to a layman, like an investor or a builder or developer, and says, this is what you should build where. And for a property owner, it says, hey, you've hit the jackpot. You know, you thought you had a piece of coal, there's a diamond in there. You thought you had an oyster, there's a pearl in there. And people don't know that. And I'm really excited about the fact that a lot of people who own these development sites, who have lived in these homes for generations. Maybe grandpa gave it to mom, gave it to me now, right? And they don't understand that that's going to be an apartment. In 10 years, that's going to be an apartment standing right where their home is.
Just based on the data from 10 billion different points that you guys are able to synthesize through your process and take that information and show people, here's what's coming, here's what's happened, here's where you are. And based on those projections, you guys are able to give it a different value based on a whole new algorithm.
Exactly. Okay. So we're, instead of just writing them a research paper.
I have connections for you.
Hey, thanks. We love
it. I'm learning more. I just need to learn more about what you need support with.
Yeah. I mean, you've got an idea of what your property's worth.
Okay.
We have another idea for you. Mm-hmm. And that idea is based on what the best use of your piece of land is. And I feel like every property owner, within a year, every property owner will start their home sale or home purchase journey on CityBuilder because they've got to find out, okay, if I have this piece of land, what should I do with it? Before you can understand what it's worth, you have to understand what it is. Mm. And we'll give you that information for free and then hopefully make a connection with you, the property owner, if that's you, with someone who's interested in a property like yours. Or if you're a builder, then we want to help you find the right site.
CEO of CityBuilder, Brian Copley, is joining us. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. From your perspective, what do you feel like is something that would be beneficial to our listening audience of aspiring entrepreneurs and entrepreneurs?
Well, you've got a lot of entrepreneurs watching the show. Yeah, so I think probably the most important thing to discuss is what's the most critical factor in making a successful company. Mm. And I firmly believe that the most critical factor is understanding as a founder, as a CEO, what your values are, what motivates you, and then drawing people who are motivated by the same things. If you don't align your values with those people, what you'll find is hairline fractures when things start to go hard. And then when they become more difficult, those hairlines will turn into stress fractures and initially you'll have a break. Mm. And that's tough. And being an entrepreneur is difficult enough as it is. You should really be aligned in your values with the people that you go to work with, you know, 10, 12, 14 hours a day. The people you see on the weekends, the people you miss holidays and vacations for and with. I think that's the most important part.
As we wrap up our segment, brother, what is some books, some mentors, some things that
absolutely.
You really love?
Elon Musk, a mentor and a book, as it turns out. I'm reading the book right now.
Yeah.
The Hard Thing About Hard Things by Ben Horowitz is an excellent book. I recommend it for every entrepreneur. And who else? Who else do I really look up to? A guy named Nick Soman.
Okay.
Nick Soman's a great guy. Not a lot of people know who Nick Soman is, but he recently sold a company to Rhapsody in Seattle, and he's moved down to the Bay Area. I think he works at Zomato now. But Nick Soman is someone that people should look up. He's got a great blog. He's a good writer. He's a very humble guy, and he's someone who I aspire to be like.
Well, I'll have to check him out.
Yeah.
Brian, pleasure, brother.
Absolutely.
I got some connections for you. We'll talk about it, right?
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Now F-Logic with the CEO of Violet Love Brands, Rebecca Michaels. How do you define an entrepreneur?
How do I define an entrepreneur? I think anybody who starts anything from scratch and does it on their own without a path already provided for them is definitely an entrepreneur.
What skills have you taken and applied to entrepreneurship?
A skill that I've taken from other things that I've applied to entrepreneurship. Well, considering my background as a civil engineer, I would say that my attention to detail and work ethic has definitely been something that I brought.
How did you get the startup capital or the first round of funding?
I got the startup capital through a friendly loan and also through my own bank account that I had saved for a few years after college, so.
What was the first step you took?
The very first step that I took after I had the idea to start my business was to come home and sew the first headband and test it out myself, take it on runs and wear it outdoors, indoors, and just get as much feedback as I could.
What advice would you give your teenage self in order to succeed?
Just go for it. Live every day and just charge after all of your dreams, whatever they are.
So you sit down and you do your budget and you look at all your monthly costs, your bills, your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would help? What would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. And that is the typical savings, $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your healthcare. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and it works. No wonder more than 400,000 people are doing this now. And look, whether you're single or married or you have kids, this can make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. Just think what you could do with $500 a month. It can cover a car payment or payback loans or whatever. Join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Find out more. The MediShare people are so easy to talk to. They can answer any questions. They are super friendly. Call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
Welcome back to Business Rockstars. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
So what is venture capital and how can you benefit from it? We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack, and this is Business Rockstars. Joining us today to answer that question is our guest, Chad Byers. He's the co-founder and partner at Sousa Ventures. Chad, it's a pleasure to have you, brother.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so break it down for us from the basics. What is venture capital?
Yeah, so I think venture capital is investing capital in private businesses, ideally and usually ones that are very early stage with a high element of risk, helping those businesses get off ground, build products, sell that product, and eventually build a self-sustaining business that can go on to either operate independently, go public, or get acquired. And that is kind of the core elements of venture capital.
So when is the right time for somebody to go after a venture capital fund, or how do they know if a VC firm is even the right option for them?
Yeah, it's a really fantastic question. So I think the most important thing to say, and I think not a lot of VCs say this and more should be said about it, is not every business is fit for venture capital. You know, the reality is venture capital is a perfect fit for businesses that have a very high ceiling. So that is a really high potential outcome. So a company that's built in a massive market that could eventually become a $100 million, $200 million, $500 million, billion-dollar, multi-billion-dollar company is more ideal for venture capital based on the kind of the needs that venture capitalists have and the investors in those venture capitalist funds. It should be said that the majority of businesses are probably better off without venture capital. Venture capital puts a lot of stresses on a business. There's expected outcomes over an expected amount of time. The reality is that a lot of companies and a lot of the great businesses that make up America, kind of your SMBs and businesses like that, actually are probably better off being self-sustaining businesses, businesses that grow with their cash flows and don't necessarily seek venture capital. So that's kind of a high-level framework on how to think about it. If your product is something that requires pretty substantial upfront investment, that it'll be really hard because you don't have cash flows to get debt or some other facility, and your business has a potential to be a really, really large company, then venture capital will be the right fit for you.
Okay, so what are some of the different options out there? I know we've got incubators, we've got angel investors, we've got crowdfunding, crowdsourcing. I just named a few of them, but what are some other options out there that people can do? So they say, great, so you know, I'm looking for funding, or I realize that at some point in my business, once we have something that's scalable and predictable and we want to grow it faster with some funding, what are some other options out there that people can look towards?
Yeah, it's a great question. So if I'm starting a business today, I think my options are one, I try to bootstrap it. Bootstrapping is building your business with your own capital strong cash flows. And that's always, that should always be option number one. You end up owning your entire business, which is kind of the holy grail, right? If you realize, hey, you know, there's a lot of competitors, or I want to really step on the gas and go quicker, and I need capital, there's a couple ways to get capital. The first is you could try to look for a small business loan. And that's obviously, again, you're not giving away equity, but that comes with more complicated terms, et cetera, and obviously a payback period. You could go a crowdfunding route, so using something like Kickstarter or Indiegogo, and help crowdsource and crowdfund your project. Again, you're giving away the end project versus equity. So that's a, you know, another option, although can be very difficult. And then your third option is kind of venture capital, right? Which is selling part of your business for an investment. And within the venture capital bubble, let's kind of dive into that thread a little bit deeper. There's a bunch of options for you. So when you start off, as you mentioned, some of them, most folks end up raising a friends and family round. And so that could be, you know, 100 to 500K from friends and family, could even be smaller. And that really just gets you from kind of ideation to an MVP. At that point, a lot of folks do one of a couple things. You might go into an accelerator or incubator, something like Y Combinator or Techstars, where there's a bunch of kind of more verticalized incubators and accelerators set up today. And those can be great fits. Let's say you're a hardware company, you might go to Bolt VC or something like that. If you want to kind of skip that route, then you kind of go to angel investors. Angel investors write larger checks. They're a little bit more institutional than a friends and family round. They might write in the $100,000 to $250,000 range. And then once you kind of graduate from that stage, you're into seed stage venture capital. And seed stage venture capital is actually what SUSE Ventures does. So we're investing in rounds of about $2 million. We'll invest kind of $500,000 to $750,000. And we're investing in people that have a product, that product's in market, you have a little bit of revenue, but you really want to get, you know, the gas pedal going on that product. And so that's kind of the stage in which we invest. So that's kind of the your different options as you start a business.
Perfect. I appreciate you for breaking that down for us, brother, because that's like, I guess, the A to Z's of how you can go and find funding depending on where you're at. Co-founder and partner of SUSE Ventures, Chad Byers, is joining us right now. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. Chad, so when should somebody, you know, we talked about when somebody should go after funding, but I want to know when somebody knows it's the right time to get funding, because we talked about that for VCs, but we didn't talk about that in general. You said that, yes, most people should probably avoid funding and bootstrap it, but when does somebody know that it's time to no longer bootstrap it and they should scale? Because there is a fine line, and I feel like there's companies out there that are really sitting on something that's profitable, scalable, and predictable, but maybe for a lack of variety of reasons, they don't know that it's the right time to go after funding, or maybe they don't know how to go about getting the funding.
Right. No, that's a great question. And I think there's a couple different answers here, and they're a little bit nuanced, but I think the reality is actually something you just said and a piece of what you just said, which is kind of when everything's working, right? So if you're out there, you've built a product over the last couple of years and things are going well, you're growing the business, it's a big market and potential. The potential for the product is really huge. You want to make sure that everything is in order. And the way I like to think about venture capital is gasoline, right? So you want to pour gasoline on the business, you know, once you're ready to really go. Right. And to me, what that means is my team is in place and I know who I need to hire. So I have the core components of a great management team in place, but I could really use a couple extra hires that would, you know, really dip into our burn and our cost. But if we had those, we could really expand the business. The product's working. It's fundamentally proven from a unit economic standpoint. Right. So you're paying back your acquisition costs and your LTV is solid and your unit economics are really in place. You have a deep understanding of the market and where your product and business fits into that market. You have a deep understanding of the competitive landscape and why your business would succeed if you poured, you know, $1, $5, $10 million on top of it. And if you really have all those elements ready to go, you're ready for venture capital or an outside investor. Because when you go pitch those folks, all those different elements are elements they're going to dig onto, right? Team, product, market, competition, et cetera. And when you internally are ready to answer those questions, you're going to get VCs to buy in on that vision.
Perfect, brother. I appreciate you for breaking down venture capital for us. Thanks for coming on the show, Chad.
Thanks so much for having me.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
This information is given with the understanding that neither the host nor the station is engaged in rendering legal, accounting, business, or other professional advice. Since the details of your situation are unique, you should additionally seek the advice and services of a competent professional.
Paid spokesperson SOSE is not associated with LegalZoom nor a part of LegalZoom's network of independent attorneys.